The king bids you peace. Time is short. Make the most of it. And I drove around for about the following week asking the Lord, just what does that mean? I realized the time is short, but how do I make the most of it? And I was turning the corner, actually off of, I can still remember going through the dip, turning the corner and on from Houghton on to Elizabeth. And as I'm turning the corner, I saw God's people running around. The darkness was coming and God's people were running around putting on armor and just whatever they could find and putting it on. And the Lord spoke to me and said, we're going to hand fit the armor. What a ride that's been. Hand fitting armor doesn't feel so good. Sometimes it pinches and it bangs you around, and sometimes it gets a little hot. And this last week, I believe it was Thursday, the Lord spoke to me and said, at that time, and I had started teaching the hand fitting the armor. I taught justification and adoption and regeneration and sanctification. Those are four foundational doctrines to our faith. And after that, went into the book of Ephesians, started teaching Ephesians verse by verse, sometimes word by word, and going through Ephesians, and made it through chapter 3 and got to chapter 4, and the Lord took me somewhere else. And it was like, I want to finish. What happened? And then there have been others that have been the same way. I got into Hebrews and made it through 6 chapters, same way, teaching it. I'm learning. It's changing my life. I believe people were changing in here, and just everything was happening. And got through chapter 6 and got to chapter 7, and we're going somewhere else. And it was like, really, Lord, it would be nice to finish this sometime. We started the tabernacle, went a year and a half in the tabernacle, every material, those of you who were here, it went through absolute detail and it was life-changing for me. Absolutely changed the way I viewed God, the intricacies of the soul, everything. Got all the way, taught the veil, getting ready to step. The only place we had to go now was the Holy of Holies, and God said, nope, going somewhere else. And it was like, oh, seriously, really, Lord, are we ever going to finish anything? Can't we just go through complete? And this week, Thursday morning, the Lord spoke to me and said, the armor's hand fit, now it's time to put it on. And sent me back to Ephesians. So fasten your seatbelt. things are about to get interesting. So let's pray. Lord, I don't even know where to begin. To put on the armor, Lord, but all I know what to do is to stand in your presence and allow you to fit it. And I pray, Lord, that each person that's here this morning would choose to do the same, to stand before you and say, Lord, will you dress me? Will you put the armor on me? Lord, I pray that every word that is spoken here this morning would be inspired of the Holy Spirit. Nothing of myself. But Lord, that I would be your vessel this morning. I give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 4. I'm going to be in Ephesians chapter 1. I just want to read this in Ephesians 4. It says, beginning in verse 20, it says, but you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you heard him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, for you to put off the old man as regards the former behavior, the one being corrupted according to the deceitful lust, and to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that word renewed, part of that word is the word, kind of, is where we get the word neo, like neonatal. It is the brand new, like brand new baby. It isn't renewed like you would kind of renew a tree in a sense when you prune a tree back and new growth comes. This is yank that tree out and plant a new one. This is totally new. And it's saying to put off the old man, take it off, and to put on the new man. which was created or declared righteous by the Father according to the graciousness of Christ. And suddenly it hit me that that's not just the old sinful man, but maybe I have to put off the old man that I was yesterday. Maybe some of the things that I thought and things that I've known about Scripture and the things that I've walked in and the things of God, maybe I need to put those off and to put on new today. And that's kind of been my week, is really thinking about that, realizing, you know what, it's been quite a walk, but sometimes God just says, just stand still. Stand still for a minute. And He just starts knocking all the crud off of you and putting new stuff on. And Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, to the saints being in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, the first thing that's important to realize is who he's writing to. So he's writing to the saints being in Ephesus. Are any of us saints being in Ephesus? I didn't think so. But this next part, it says, and faithful in Christ Jesus. That word faithful means the ones believing in Christ Jesus. Is there anyone in here believing in Christ Jesus? Then this is to us. And I'm going to narrow it down even more. And it's not to us. It's to you. Eric, it's to you. Cindy, it's to you. Therese, it's to you. It's to every person in here that says, I believe in Jesus Christ. This letter is written to you. It says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3 says, blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us in every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ. Blessed is the God and Father. And there's that word is blessed. Blessed is the God and Father who blessed us. And then the word spiritual blessing. Okay, and that word blessing. You have an adjective. This is describing God. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is a state of being. Okay, it is that inherent condition of God that is worthy to be worshipped and praised. It's an adjective describing who he is. And it's inherent in the fact that it is existing in him as permanent and inseparable. He is blessed. And nothing you and I or any force in heaven or anything of darkness that would come against him is going to diminish that in any way. God is blessed. And from that place, okay, from that place of his condition where it says, blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us in every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm. He's blessed us, meaning from that condition, nothing can diminish who he is. He is blessed. He is inherently worthy to be worshipped. And from that place, he spoke in your favor. Okay? And I'm not like into this usually leading people to say things, but just to make sure that you know it just personally, see, God the Father blessed me. Okay? I'm usually not into the say this and everybody say I am blessed and all that stuff, but that's the truth of what this is saying, and we need to put this on personally. Each one of us. This is the army rising up. This is each person in the army of God putting on the armor and rising up in it and knowing who we are in him. And you have to know that he has blessed. He has spoken in your favor. He has spoken in your favor from a condition of being completely blessed, inherently blessed, cannot separate him from it, cannot diminish it. And he spoke from there and said, Crystal, you're blessed. With every spiritual blessing, all, every spiritual blessing, lacking nothing. You lack nothing in spiritual blessings. Put that on. Cindy, all spiritual blessings. He spoke and he said, Cindy, I give you all spiritual blessing. Every blessing spiritual is yours. Put that on. Every spiritual blessing, the who blessed us. There's the verb. You have the adjective describing God. You have the verb or the action that he did. And then you have what he gave you. And it is the spiritual blessing. In the heavenly realms, they are rooted in the heavens in Christ. Meaning nothing can diminish it. The blessings that he spoke into each one of us from that condition of being absolute blessed and nothing can touch it, nothing can diminish it in any way. When he spoke and blessed you, those blessings are rooted in the heavens in Christ. Remember, nothing can be diminished in that place. Nothing can take it from you. Nothing can diminish it or hinder it at all. It is because he said it is. All spiritual blessings. And this is where it gets interesting. Because Paul gets really wordy in this. And you talk about spending hours trying to keep it straight in my mind what Paul is saying here. But he shifts gears in verse 4 because it says, even as, or I think the King James says according. Does it say according as? Who's got King James? According as. Okay. According as, or mine says even as. That word means harmonizing or agreeing with. Okay? So he stood in that condition of blessing, and he blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ, harmonizing or agreeing with the fact that he elected us in him. He chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Now, I taught this before and never really understood the word foundation. Okay? This isn't the foundation of the world as he began to speak and create everything. And before that, he determined we would be in him. Okay. Even as he elected us in him before the foundation of the world, I'm going to take that out for just a second. We're going to take before the foundation of the world out, just like it's parenthetical. Okay. Take that out and read through it. It says, even as he elected us in him for us to be holy and without blemish before him in love. So there's the purpose of what he's doing. He chose us in him for us to be holy and without blemish before him in love. Before him meaning not just like I'm standing before him, but I'm before him and he's not just seeing my physical outside of who I am, but I stand before him and he peers into the deepest parts of who I am in my inner being, all the way into the deepest parts of my heart, my belief system, everything about me. Stands holy and flawless before him. He chose me to be found in Christ in that condition. Before the foundation of the world. And here's where it gets interesting. That word foundation is katabole. And it means a throwing or a laying down. It can be like you use it in the instance of like throwing seeds or plants. And when you walk through the field and they're planting a crop, they throw the seeds down. Okay? The dirt's all prepared, everything else, and you're casting seed. This also means the injection or depositing of the viral semen in the womb. This is God choosing us to be in him before he cast his seed into the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. Okay. He chose us to be in him before he cast his seed into the world. Yeah. Steph and I were talking the other day, and we've made jokes out of it before, not jokes, but laughing about it, because the day before she had Katie, I looked at her and said, wouldn't it be cool to have one just like you? Now, I'm blessing her, and I'm blessing my daughter because I absolutely adore my wife. I think she's great. And I'm thinking, man, it would be great to have a daughter that's just like my wife. Okay? She looked at me and said, are you blessing me or cursing me? Because obviously she knew something about herself that I didn't know. But the joke was, are you blessing me or cursing me? Do you really know what you're saying? Okay? But the fact is, I do have a daughter that's very much like my wife. And I love those character traits that I see in my daughter. But that was me blessing her. Okay? I was blessing her in the womb. When Katie was in the womb, I remember laying hands on my wife's belly and praying over her and blessing my daughter because there were things that I wanted for my daughter. Okay? And I see them coming to pass. I see that. That's the beautiful thing. And we bless while the child is in the womb. But before the child was even in the womb, before the seed was even cast. This is with an absolute purpose. Before I cast my seed into the earth, into the world, I'm blessing and I am choosing them that they will be found in my seed before he did it. That everything was with a purpose. This isn't oops and I'm pregnant. You follow what I'm saying? This isn't in hindsight. This isn't trying to get it together and go, okay, well now what are we going to do? This isn't by mistake. This was every single part of what he did was with an absolute purpose to bless us that we would be found in his son, Jesus Christ. This was the redemption of man. That we would be found holy and flawless before him in love. Before he ever cast his seed, he knew exactly what he was doing, and he blessed us before he ever did any of it. We were already blessed in the whole thing. Wow. I cried over this one. I sat in my office when I started seeing this, and I don't know that I can put it into words what God was showing me, but all of a sudden I saw the beauty of the relationship between a husband and a wife. All of a sudden I saw the beauty of the absolute blessing that we have to be able to create life. All of a sudden, all the defilement of it, everything we do with it, all the stuff is all of a sudden gone. And I saw the beauty of God's creation. And I saw who he was revealed in the relationship between a husband and a wife. Wow. I sat in my office and I cried. I couldn't even put words. I would think about telling my wife. I would think about calling Bruce and trying to explain it to him. I would think about calling Don and trying to explain it to him. And I couldn't put words to it. And I just sat and wept in my office for probably an hour. The absolute purpose of God and everything that he's done. He's left nothing unturned. Why do we question him? That's what got me. I sat there thinking, everything. This isn't a reaction to something going bad. This is with the absolute purpose. Every step of the way. He's not diminished in any way. This isn't, oops, I gotta fix this. This is the way it was set out to happen, and he chose us in him before anything ever happened. Is anybody grabbing just a little bit of that? My circumstances that I go through in my life, they are not by chance. Nothing. I am blessed with all spiritual blessings. Why am I acting otherwise? Why am I letting other things diminish it? They're not diminishing the actual blessing. They're diminishing my perspective of it. I'm letting those things deceive me to make the things of God look less than. When the truth of it is, they were already established and nothing can diminish it. Does that speak to anybody? Even as he elected us in him, before the casting of his seed into the world for us to be holy and without blemish before him in love. To himself predestinating us to adoption through Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of his will. This is where it just gets so wordy and you just go, wow, where I couldn't think of words to put it into the other day, Paul had no problem. He had all the words for me. I mean, and then you start looking at each one of these words, and each one of these words to really understand what it meant in the Greek, it'd take a paragraph just to describe that word. I mean, it's just like, Holy Spirit, reveal it to us, because this is just over the top to me. Even as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world for us to be holy and without blemish before him in love, determining or designating beforehand us, and that word adoption means into place of son. Now, if you've been here very long, you've heard me talk about this little adventure I've been on the last couple of years and what it means to be son. I get the whole servant of God, all that stuff, but when God spoke to me and said, come to me as son, that has just kind of set me on my head ever since then. Okay? That whole thought, just trying to wrap myself around it. And I'm getting closer. But this spoke to me again. It says predestining, designating beforehand us or me, and you can say me, into place of Son through Jesus Christ. Into Him in accord with the delight of His will. Okay? So predestinating us into the adoption is designating beforehand us into the place of Son through Jesus Christ. And then it says according again, which means agreeing or in harmony with the good pleasure of His will. It's all about the good pleasure of His will. It pleased Him to do all of these things. This is the absolute good pleasure of the will of God, was for you to be found in Christ. Remember, and He determined that beforehand, that you were going to be found in Him, blameless and without flaw, okay, before Him in love. All of these things, this was the good pleasure of His will. Good pleasure, Jen. It was good pleasure for Him to choose you and say, she's going to be found in my Son, holy and without blame, and I am designating beforehand that she is my child through Christ. Whew. Makes it real personal, doesn't it? Tanya, He designated beforehand that she would be found in Him, holy, flawless before Him in love. He designated it all beforehand that you were His daughter, not just a servant, but His daughter through Christ. And it was His good pleasure to do that. Wow. And verse 6, He did all that, predestinating us to the adoption, determining beforehand us to the place of Son through Jesus Christ, according to or in harmony with the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace. To the praise of the glory of His grace, in which He favored us in the one being loved. To the praise of the glory of His grace, in which He graces us. The glory of His grace, in which He graces us. Now, we could talk about grace, and I don't know that any of us could put it into words. The favor that is found there, and it's absolutely unmerited. And the moment you think that you earned it, it's not grace anymore. And the moment you think that you did something that it's not there for you, it's not grace anymore. It is absolute, unmerited favor. He spoke in your favor. There it is. Not based on anything you did. Not based on anything you didn't do. Not based on how you look. Not based on how you walk. Not based on anything else, but absolute to the glory of His grace, which He graced us in the one being loved. In whom, talking about us being in the one, the beloved, in whom, remember, you're in Him, say, I am in Him. In whom we have redemption through His blood. And I've heard redemption, this is one thing, and maybe we're headed here, I don't know. But I did 6 years ago study justification, adoption, regeneration, and sanctification. Four foundational doctrines. And the ones that I was looking at the time, but I don't feel like the Lord led me into, were atonement and redemption. Okay? So I haven't really studied the whole doctrine of redemption. But one little word in the place of redemption totally changed it for me. It says, in whom we have redemption. And when I looked at my interlinear, instead of saying redemption, it said deliverance. The deliverance. Deliverance on account of the ransom paid, as spoken of the deliverance from the power and the consequences of sin, which Christ procured by the laying down of His life as a ransom for those who believe. Okay? I'm not just delivered from the power of sin. I'm delivered from the consequences from it also. The consequences of the sin. It says, in whom we have deliverance through His blood, the remission of deviations, okay? And the root word of that word remission, or what's the King James say? Forgiveness of sins? Verse 7 says forgiveness of sins, doesn't it? Okay. So in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, or the remission of deviation. And the word root for that word forgiveness or remission in the one that I'm reading from means to cause to stand away. Where is my wife at? Did she give? Here, we're going to use, there it is. That's what I'm looking for right there. Okay. I need a couple guys. Roger, will you help me real quick? No. I'll leave that to Eric. I just need you to stand right there and hold that corner. Hold that up like that. Hunter, will you help me? I'm going to stand right here and hold that corner for a minute. This is the blood of Jesus Christ. Here's the remission. Hold it up a little bit higher. Right there. Come here. Hop on. This is sin. Ugly, isn't he? This is the weight of the sin that so easily besets me. This is the sin that I carry around, and the effects and the consequences. And if I walk around in it long enough, it will break my body down. It will hurt me. It will cause physical illness and sickness to come upon me. It will cause me, it will slow me down. It will hinder me from reaching God. It will get in my way and absolute hinder everything around me if I carry it long enough. Will it not? This is the remission of sins. And that word means to set apart from. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, I go through and it completely sets me apart. Hold on to it. Completely sets me apart from Him and the consequences from it. I'm absolutely forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. Sin no longer has hold on me. Not power, not consequences. It's done. Sin no longer has a hold on me through the blood of Jesus Christ. That is a visual showing. It absolutely released me. I don't feel the weight of it anymore. It can't cause me to be sick. It can't cause disease. It can't break me down. It can't slow me down. It can't weight me down. It can't beset me. It can't touch me through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Thanks, guys. We have deliverance through His blood, the remission or the forgiveness of sins, okay? And the root word means to cause to stand away. So when we come through the blood of Jesus Christ, when you place your faith in the blood of Jesus Christ, sin, its power, and its consequences are caused to stand away from you. Other places in Scripture says that He caused them there as far from the east as from the west. Okay, He cast them. They no longer any reach, any hold that it would have on me through the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm absolutely, it is caused to stand away from me and has no hold on me whatsoever. There's the deliverance. There's the absolute freedom from it. It doesn't just break the chains and leave me sitting there in a cold, dark dungeon. Okay, we're talking about the chains are gone and I can completely walk free from the consequences of it. The consequences of my sin would be me sitting in the prison, in the dark, cold, sick, nasty dungeon. I'm bound by the chains. Jesus Christ has set me free from that. He released the shackles. I'm no longer in bondage to it, but how often do we sit there in the consequences of our sin, not realizing that the truth is that through the blood of Jesus Christ, it is caused to be apart from me. I'm completely out of the consequences. I don't have to sit in that cold, dark, nasty place anymore. Done deal just because of the blood. Nothing that I earned, nothing that I deserved, absolutely by the grace of God to the glory of the praise, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Amen? Say, I'm free. I feel funny having people do that. I've always kind of laughed at it. Pastors that would do that or preachers that would do that. But the truth is, we really do need to get it. We need to put it on. We need to realize that's personal. I mean, we can form a line and I can hold the cloth up there and I'll have Eric jump on everybody's back and you can walk through to experience it if you want. But think about it. You're free from your sin. Absolutely free from it. It has no power and no consequence. None. That's the truth. That's what the Word is declaring to us right here. That's what it's saying. Why do we let anybody tell us any different? Why do we hold on to these things? Yeah. Yeah. Go on. Go ahead. Be God. In whom we have deliverance through His blood, the remission of deviations according to the riches of His grace. Again, in harmony with the riches of His grace. Keeps talking about that, doesn't it? The riches of His grace, which He caused to abound toward us in all wisdom and understanding. Which He lavishes towards us in all wisdom and disposition. Meaning the riches of His grace, okay, according to the riches of His grace, verse 7, right at the end, says, according to the riches of His grace, He's delivered us through the blood and the forgiveness of sin or the remission of deviations. We're in harmony to the riches of His grace, which He lavishes or causes to superabound towards us. Meaning if you could put a measure or a number or rate that grace at all, no matter how big, no matter where you put that number and how you rate it, it's superabounding to it. There is no putting a measure to it at all. Whatever measure you would put to it, it would overflow it. Does anybody like the sound of that? Which He lavishes towards us in all wisdom and understanding. Now, wisdom, the best way I know how to understand wisdom is it is, oh man, it's like that path. It is when God speaks to me, it's through wisdom. Okay, it's like the path. It is the Spirit through which things come through. Okay, so in all wisdom, no matter how He's communicating it to me, He is lavishing His grace. The riches of His grace are lavished towards me in every communication and everything coming out from Him on my behalf. Everything, no matter how it is, everything is superabounding. It is lavished towards me in every wisdom and understanding. And that word understanding means disposition. And it comes from the word phroneo. And if you remember when we were in the tabernacle, phroneo is that part of my mind. It's the frame of mind that I'm in. We often say, well, I'm not in a good mood today. Okay? The frame of mind you're in determines the mood you're in. Okay? If you get up and you're worried about work or whatever, it puts you in a frame of mind, and your feelings and how you're doing that day is determined by the frame of mind that you're in. Okay? This is saying that God superabounds. He lavishes the riches of His grace towards you in every wisdom and no matter what mood He's in. In every frame of mind, in everything towards you, it's good, and He's lavishing His grace on you. He doesn't wake up in a bad mood. Right? In every disposition is what that's saying. And it's talking about Him in all wisdom and in every disposition. I don't know about you, but I got some nasty dispositions sometimes. All of us do, right? And it's because we get in this frame of mind. If you sit around and think about something bad long enough, it will put you in a nasty mood. That's the frame of mind it's talking about. It says, no matter what the frame of mind, now we know God is good and He's full of grace and He has the good pleasure of His will and all these things we're reading about. But it, just for security's sake, it's like it doesn't matter what disposition He's in. He's still lavishing His grace on you. No matter what. So even when it talks about the anger and the wrath of God, He's still lavishing His grace towards you in that frame of mind that He's in and what He's doing at that time. He's perfect and complete. The picture is constantly, no matter what, He is superabounding the riches of His grace towards us. I don't know about you, but I like the sound of that. That's pretty good stuff. But tie this verse into it. according to the riches of his grace, which he has caused to superabound toward us in all wisdom and disposition, making known to us the mystery of his will. Making known to us the mystery of his will. Does anybody ever wonder what God's will is? This is saying that verses 4, everything that it's talking about, verses 3, where we are blessed with every spiritual blessing, he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world for us to be holy and without blemish before him in love. He designated beforehand us to the place of Son through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory and his grace, which he has favored or graced us in the one being loved, in whom we have deliverance through his blood, the absolute separation from our sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he caused to superabound toward us in all wisdom and understanding, making known to us the mystery of his will. Meaning you don't have to wonder what his will is. He just revealed it. It is always good. It is always grace. It is always superabounding. It is always in your favor. It is always life and never death. For you. I know God's will for me. It's to superabound the riches of his grace towards me. God's will for me is that I'm found in his Son, holy and blameless, without flaw before him. Meaning he can search me to the deepest parts of my being, and it's perfect. Perfect. Flawless before him. And he doesn't miss anything. Amen? Making known to us the mystery of his will. How many times have we wondered when we're going through something, is it God's will for me to be this way? It's God's will for me to be sick. Now you'll remember, I've said, God will use illness, he will use disease to get our attention. Scripture says that he will give unto a man according to his ways. But 6 years ago when I taught that, those of you who were here, it was like they took it. People said, it's not God's will. I never said it was God's will for us to be sick. By that it shows that it's not his will for us to be sick. It's not his will for us to be broken in body. It's not his will for us to be in bondage to sin. It's not his will for me to wonder, to walk around and think that I'm downtrodden and beaten and defeated and not recognize that his grace is being lavished upon me. There's the mystery of his will. Making known to us the mystery of his will. And here we go, according to, in harmony with, or in agreement with his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Okay? His good pleasure to send his Son, and he purposed that good pleasure in his Son, that we would be found in him, that we would find remission of sins, that we would find deliverance from the consequences and power of sin. Absolutely everything. It was according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. Okay? And verse 10 says, for the administration of the fullness of times to head up all things in Christ. Now, to really catch it, you got to realize, back in verse 3, he said, blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us in every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ. Comma. Now everything from verse 4 through verse 9 is describing our condition. Who we are in him. Can I get an amen to that? Each one of those things that it's talking about, when you go 4 through 9, when you read through that, you know where you stand in his eyes in Christ. I got nothing to worry about. Do you? I mean, a relationship with God and who he declares me to be. I got nothing to worry about whatsoever. I don't have to worry about sin. I don't have to worry about any of that stuff. Nothing's got a hold on me. Your judgment of me, whether you think I'm just some whacked out pastor, got no hold on me. This already tells me who I am in him. And it doesn't matter if he's in a bad mood or a good mood. Right? I don't think God's ever in a bad mood. You get it? He's already declared who we are in him in those verses right there. And when it goes to verse 10, you could just about take verse 4, or I think you can. You can take verse 4 through 9, and you don't want to throw them away because there's a whole lot of value in those. But let's just remove them out of the reading for just a minute and listen to this. Blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us in every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ for the administration of the fullness of the times to head up all things in Christ. The administration. What's the King James say in verse 10? Okay, for the dispensation of the fullness of times, right? Okay, for the administration or the dispensation? Anybody know what the word administration means? The management. For the management or into the management of the filling of the appropriate time. Now, the word time in that, in the fullness of times, I think is what you said it said, right? In the King James. In this one it says, for the administration of the fullness of the times or the dispensation of the fullness of the times. The times is the word kairos. And really, there is no English word to translate it clearly. Okay? There's no English equivalent. And it says times, and immediately we start thinking a succession of minutes. Okay? Or the clock. Or a certain period of time. And they'll even translate it era or age or seasons. Okay? But it's not really talking about a succession of minutes. Yes. Right. No, we're not. I'm going to hold on. In our flesh, we are, but this is what we're learning is we are not. I'm going to stay on this right now for just a second. I get what you're saying, but I'm going to stay on this for just a second because this says for the administration or for the management of the fullness of times. And this word kairos, they'll say in the English every time they put the word time with it. Okay. So look at it as this, an appropriation. Okay. An appropriation is the act of sequestering or assigning to a particular purpose or use. Okay, so we in the physical have no other way of describing this in the English language of saying, well, there's this age or there's this era or this season or time. We liken it to time. But basically what it is God has made an appropriation that, see, you got to use the word time to really grab a hold of it. There is an appropriation that is made that is described in the second part of the verse. It is for the administration or the management of the fullness of times to head up all things in Christ. Okay? To head up means to gather together in one all in the Christ. Both the things in the heavens and the things on the land. This is referring to us managing it. We've been talking about the shepherd's staff. In Deuteronomy 28:1, it describes it down, when it gets down to the end of verse, it says that he will set us on high over the things of the earth. Okay? And what the Lord showed me in that, you look at it in the Hebrew, what it's saying is if we will walk in His commandments, in those landmarks, if we will walk in obedience and go where He's telling us to go, that in that, we become the staff in the shepherd's hand. Okay? So, say, I'm a shepherd's staff. Oh, come on, don't be scared. Say, I am the shepherd's staff. When you walk in obedience to where He's telling you to walk, you become the staff in His hand. Okay? This is what He uses for what? Managing the flock. And defending the flock. Right? He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings for us to manage the fullness of the appropriation and head all things, fill all things, lead all things into Christ. We're in His hand. He's the shepherd, but He's using us to manage it. And I already know the mystery of His will is not a mystery anymore. It's grace. It's mercy. It's all of these things that are described in there. I know the will of Him. Okay? Now, as the shepherd's staff, remember, isn't that a cool looking shepherd's staff? It can't do anything right there. It's absolutely useless. So I can be the shepherd's staff, but unless I'm in His hand, I'm useless, right? Guns don't kill people, do they? The people with the holding the gun in their hand kill people, right? The gun by itself is nothing. The shepherd's staff by itself is nothing. But in the master's hand or in the shepherd's hand, now it becomes useful. Concerning the flock, that we when we were studying, had the shepherd's interaction with the flock. He goads or prods. You gently push, direct the sheep that way. I can get Eric up here and use him as an example. But he pushes, he prods, he goads. The shepherd also points to things. He'll point to the water. He'll point to the pastures. He will lead them by pointing. He will lead them by goading. He will lead them by yoking together. Okay? He uses it to yoke together. It'd be like me. It's like tying Eric to this, and he's going to go wherever I go with the staff, right? I'm going to leave a little slack in it so I can whack him when he's not listening. But I can yoke him together. I can put, you could put the sheep and yoke the sheep on the shepherd. The shepherd would carry one around his shoulders if they were wounded. Yoking together by goading and prodding, by pointing the direction, by yoking them together, by sharpening or letting them practice. You teach and teach and teach and teach and teach, and then you let them go to see if they're going to walk in that path, right? You do it with the kids. You teach the kids how to make a decision over and over and over again when they're little. At a certain point, you got to let them make decisions and see if they're really going to do the right thing, right? They don't. Sometimes the kids do really good, and then all of a sudden they'll make a bad decision. You pull them back in, you train more, and then you've got to release them to make decisions on their own again. You can't just keep doing everything for them, right? So the shepherd treats the sheep that way. You train them and train them and train them. This is where we go out. This is how far you can get away from the shepherd's staff. This is the area of protection. This is the area of the good land or the water. All these things you continue, but pretty soon you got to let the flock go. You got to let them go out there and find out for themselves where the safe place is. Everybody following me? And then the other fifth way that the shepherd interacted with the flock was through chastising. And if you just got one that's stubborn, that won't listen, you just whack them. You might jab them in the side. This is why we have cattle prods. They don't listen so well. They work much better under chastisement. They don't go gentle. Right? Sheep are a little bit different. But those are the five ways that you interact with the flock. What do you do with predators? Do you gently goad a predator? Do you point and tell him you need to go over there? Do you yoke yourself together with a predator? No. And I'm not going to let him practice on my flock. Right? And I'm not going to chastise him because it's not for his good. He's dirty, rotten, dark, and evil anyway, right? I'm going to bust his stinking teeth out is what I'm going to do. I'm going to jab this thing down his throat so he can't make any noise. I'm going to knock his teeth out so he can't harm my sheep. Right? Then why do we walk around being kind to the enemy? Devil, I tell you to go. Well, maybe it's God's will that I should be sick. This is the one that's really been stirring in me. When you go through hard times, when you've watched a friend suffer with cancer, when you've lost loved ones to things like that, when you've watched your wife go through heart surgeries and brain surgeries and all of these things, you can't help but wonder, God, where are you in all of this? And you begin to question His will. Ephesians 1 reveals the mystery of His will. He's made it known. What was a mystery is now revealed. It's the lavishing of His grace to the praise of the glory of His grace. He's spoken in my favor with every spiritual blessing that there is so that I might manage and bring all things under Christ. As His staff in His hand, I'm no good on my own. That thing can't get up and hit me, can't jab me, can't goad me, can't point the right direction, can't do anything. But in His hand and how He would use me, and in His hand I know His heart. And when I walk in that, you can gently goad the sheep. You can chastise the sheep. You can point the right direction. But when the stinking enemy shows up, you knock his teeth out, you break his legs and tell him, go in the name of Jesus. Are you willing to be that staff? All things. This is the part that got me. I'm sitting here this week going, are you serious? This has been right here in my hand all this time, and I missed it because I'm curious about the mystery of God's will. Anybody ever wonder God's will? Based on what we read from 4 through 9, is it God's will for us to have a headache? Is it God's will for us to be oppressed by unclean spirits? And I'm not trying, remember, this only works if you're in the shepherd's hand. You gotta love the shepherd's hand. You gotta know your love. This isn't, the hard part that I've had with some of this teaching is, especially when it gets into the healing stuff, it'll go two ways. You either, what we hear is if you pray for someone and you're managing, say we're managing the kingdom, just like what it's talking about, bringing all things into Christ. Somebody comes up for prayer, and what am I going to do with that illness? It's not good, is it? It's not God's will. God's will is to lavish His grace, and that grace has nothing to do with the illness. Are there reasons that the illness could be there? Absolutely, there could be. Okay? Absolutely. There are heart-related issues that bring illness and all of those things on them. But when I pray for them, if it doesn't go, as when the Lord is leading, and I'm in His hand, and He says, pray for them, knowing the Father's will, knowing the heart of the shepherd, okay, I am bringing all things into Christ. All things. You're bringing the soul of man into Christ. Amen. There's the flock. There's the shepherd. We're bringing them into Christ that way. But everything else that is not of Him, where does it belong? Under His feet. Under His feet. It's got no place. It has to be forced to subject. But I got to be in His hand, right? And where this has got off a lot of times is if you pray for healing for somebody and you don't see it right then, because that's what we want. The things that I believe, I want to see them. And what ends up happening is somebody doesn't get healed and it challenges what I thought. And it's all of a sudden what I know in my heart is different than what I'm viewing in my eyes. And now, what am I going to do? And so often we start believing in the things that we're seeing instead of the things that are spoken in the Word so clearly to us. And when it doesn't work, when I thought so surely that it was going to work and I pray for somebody and they don't receive the healing, well, it must be your unbelief. It's lack of faith on your part. And here comes the condemnation. And I've had people chuck it at me before. I've had people try to drown me in their condemnation before. Nasty, stinking, and there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Amen? So the issue isn't, it's not about condemning someone because they don't walk away healed. And then there's the other side of it. And there are some that get into this, and if I'm a part of their ministry and I'm praying for someone and I don't see the results in it, it's like, well, you're not a man of faith, go. and they kick you out because you're not getting any results. It's there. It's the opposite side of it. Both sides are they're the extremes of all of it, rather than just finding the love. If someone says they're a believer in Christ, who am I to be casting them out? Who am I to be kicking them? I don't see the heart of the Father. I don't think I'm in the Father's hand at that point. Amen? But all of a sudden, some of the things that I've been challenged in my past, the old stuff, the old man, the belief systems and the things that I thought and the questions that I had, the mystery of his will, wanting to know if it was God's will. And because what happens is I know his will and what it says in the scripture, but this is what I'm seeing. And people do it all the time. Well, what do you mean he's a God of love? If he was a God of love, he wouldn't let this happen. Right? Those are the questions that come up. Those are the things that stir up in us, that cause us to challenge, and we create the confusion. Well, what is God's will? God's will is he's blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places that you might manage, that you might become the shepherd's staff in his hand, that he might use you to manage all things in heaven and all things in earth. We've been given authority. We've been blessed with all spiritual blessings, Crystal. Back to you again. See how you are? Really? Do I need to whack you with this? Are you getting it or what? The truth is, he's blessed you with all spiritual blessings. He's given you, is wisdom a spiritual blessing? He's given you wisdom to manage to bring all things into Christ. He's given you wisdom. No excuses, nothing. There it is. He's given you wisdom. Do you believe it? He's given you knowledge. He's given you compassion. He's given all the spiritual blessings and the fullness of who he is. He's given it to you. He's given it to you. All of it. The fullness of who Christ is. He's given it to you, brother. He's given it to me. If you believe in Christ, remember, he's writing to the ones believing in Jesus Christ. I'm one believing in Jesus Christ. That means he's blessed me with all spiritual blessings in order to manage to bring all things into Christ. If it's people, I'm shepherding them into Christ and bringing them into Christ. But if it's not of God, I'm managing that, all things into Christ. Does that make sense? Where's my notes? The shepherd chastises you. But it's still, his chastising is an expression of the fullness of his grace that he's lavishing towards you. It's all out of love. Whether it be chastising, whether it be goading, whatever it is, in those five ways that he deals with the flock, if we make a mistake, his grace is sufficient, and he's just going to lead us back around there where it is. And he's even given us all the spiritual blessings in order to reconcile the harm we've done with other people in our misuse of it, if we'll humble ourselves and be found in the shepherd's hand again. Amen? The key is remaining in his hand. I can be the staff in the shepherd's hand. And as soon as I move away from it and think that I know what I'm doing with it, I'm about that useless. That's what I'm doing. I'm falling flat on my face. There's no life because I let go of the source. I ran away from the source of what gives it life. In my hand, I give this piece of wood life. I can do a lot of things with this thing, right? The life that I have flows through this, whatever I want to do with it. I can't get away from the source. There's the humble part of it and remembering you belong to him. You're not to run around and get boastful about it. This is where I hate the teachings about spiritual gifts and you've got this gift and they've got that gift and all those things. No, we have one gift. It's the Holy Spirit. Now you get out of the way and the Holy Spirit will manifest according to the will of the Father. Maybe in tongues and interpretation, maybe in a word of wisdom, maybe in a word of knowledge, maybe in all those other things that are in scripture, noted as manifestations of the Holy Spirit, but it will be according to the will of the Father if I'll get my stinking nasty flesh and my mind, will, and emotions out of the way. The Holy Spirit will manifest through me. For the administration of the fullness of times to head up all things in Christ, both the things in heaven and the things in earth, on earth, in Him, in whom we also were chosen to an inheritance. I'm trying to make it to verse 14. In whom we were also chosen to an inheritance. Translated differently, it could also mean in whom the lot has fallen upon us also. Okay? And this is another one of those where you got to be really careful with Paul. He's really wordy, and you got to know when you can put parentheses in it. And for context sake, you can remove portions of it so that you catch the theme and where he's headed. Does that make sense? To stay in context, sometimes you got to remove portions of it to keep your mind straight around it. It says, in whom we also were chosen to an inheritance, or in whom the lot has fallen upon us also. Okay. So the lot fell to Jesus and we are in Him, meaning the lot has now fallen to us. And then it'll reveal for what? It says being designated beforehand according or in harmony to the purpose of the one working all things according to the counsel of His own will. Okay. Now we're going to remove that. Being predestinated according to the purpose of the one working all things according to the counsel of His own will. Remove that for just a second. Verse 11 says, in whom we also were chosen to an inheritance, or the lot has fallen to us, for us to be to the praise of His glory. In whom the lot has fallen upon us also, for us to be to the praise of His glory. If you look in the Gospels, when Jesus is healing, when Jesus turns water into wine, every time that there is a miracle, every time there is a healing, it will be connected with His glory. The glory was revealed what? Through Him. And it's saying that same lot that fell to Jesus for the glory of God to be revealed through those things, that same lot has fallen to us. For us to be to the praise of His glory. The ones having a prior expectancy, or who had before trusted in Christ, in whom also you, hearing the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also believing, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. He just starts confirming everything that I've been talking about already this morning. All of these things have been done for you. For you. Very personal, absolutely, God has spoken in your favor that you would be found in His Son, holy and without blame, perfect before Him. Nothing to hide, no reason to hide, nothing to fear from Him, nothing. You can stand before Him in absolute love and know that He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. Amen? That's good news, right? In whom you also, hearing the word of truth. Anybody heard the word of truth in here this morning? The gospel of your salvation. There is the saving of my soul. That is absolute gospel. That God has blessed me with all spiritual blessings. That's my gospel. Is it yours? He's poured out, superabounds the riches of His grace towards us. That's good news, wouldn't you say? That's the gospel of our salvation. In whom you also believing were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is an earnest or a pledge or given as a promise of our inheritance. The inheritance is that which establishes us an heir. Okay? Who is an earnest or a pledge of our inheritance into the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. If I understand that right, I now know the will of the Father is to lavish His grace on those that believe because he's blessed them with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, that we manage all things into Christ. Amen. Still got that headache? Scripture tells us to bring all things into Christ. He's given us the authority. With all those spiritual blessings, he's given us the authority to manage all things. Meaning we can take that headache right now and put it under his feet. And he's given us the authority. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Believe that? We don't have to do this. We don't have to be like this anymore. The high blood pressure, whatever it is. All these things. The headache. Put your hand right there. On your eye. Be gone in Jesus' name. You are under his feet, and I tell pain to go. I tell blood pressure to come into Jesus. And I speak life and wholeness. I command you, be whole, be healed. We've been given, Eric, you got the Holy Spirit in you?
Yes.
He's been given as a pledge, as a promise, that the fullness, he's been given as a promise to the inheritance into the redemption of the purchased possession. Who's the purchased possession? Crystal, you're the purchased, I guess I should tell Joel. Joel, you're the purchased possession. He bought you. He paid for you and delivered you. And he completely set you apart from sin, caused it to completely be separate from you in both its power and its consequence. Done deal. Done. The moment you said, Jesus, I believe in you, it was done. And he sealed you with the Holy Spirit, which was his promise to you of your inheritance, of your, the interlinear that I look at keeps using the word tenancy. Okay? Your tenancy, you being a tenant of the kingdom of heaven. Being a tenant. Just like you would have a tenant, you rent a room or a house, or you own property, you are a tenant in that property, occupying it, partaking of it, using it. It's yours. You're there. The Holy Spirit is the promise to bring you into that inheritance, and you will be a tenant in the kingdom of heaven. Truth is, you are. Right now. Because this says, he spoke it all then. Done deal, finished. When he hung on the cross, it is finished. All these things are past tense. He's just waiting for us to get in it. Amen. It's like trying to take a sip from a fire hydrant. I spent days with it and still trying to wrap myself around that and understand what it was saying. But I'm closer now than I was at the beginning of the week. Yeah. But it does mean when he leads us to pray for someone that it will. That it will. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing, and I know His will. And if I will walk in that, in His hand, in His will, everywhere He leads me, He will manifest the good pleasure of His will. Amen?
It was that powerful. And it's because I didn't doubt. But over the years, as this happened, I keep having to go back to that day and remember, you know what, something new to that.
So he says, return to your first love. It's like, you're right, and the way that's saying it is, it's complete, it's done. The day you believe, the moment of your salvation, those spiritual blessings, every spiritual blessing is there. You're complete and whole and perfect right then. And we start putting all this other junk on. And we walk around and we put on these traditions and we put on all of this stuff. And no wonder he keeps whacking me with his shepherd's staff. Because he's trying to knock all the junk off me. You know what I mean? It's like we walk around putting all of that stuff on, but we remember the day. I remember when. I remember getting set free like that. I remember when I didn't care and I'd stand in the middle of my house and the music blaring and I would just stand there and worship God and I didn't care who heard me. I don't do it anymore. I don't know why. You know what I mean? At some point, I started being concerned with what everybody else thought. We start putting things on and we don't want to be the freak. We don't want to be the one that prays for somebody standing out on the street. It's awkward. What might they think of me? You know what I mean? We start putting all this stuff on. When the truth is, if we'll start taking it off, the fullness of Christ is in us. It's there. It's complete. And it can't be diminished. Can't be touched. I hope it's quiet in here because everybody's just thinking that one through. That's the moment when you start to pray and find yourself without words. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I don't know what else to say but to bless your people. And I know, Lord, your word will not return void. And your good will, your good pleasure, Lord, of your will, is to bring us into the fullness. Into the fullness of what you declared before you cast your seed into the world. Lord, we bless you and thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.